Tradition 7. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. The seventh tradition adds further clarity to our group's public relations. Tradition 6 cautioned us against funding other organizations, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7 encourages us to decline funding from other organizations for the same reason, to maintain our group's focus on its primary purpose. By paying our own expenses, we remain free to carry our own message. We encourage every NA group to be fully self-supporting. We also recognize that many meetings don't start that way. Some meetings are started by one or two NA members who want to help carry the message to other addicts. Frequently, such members pay rent and buy literature for these meetings out of their own pockets. Sometimes they're given help by established NA groups or by the nearest area committee. Either way, it may take some time before a new meeting is able to stand on its own feet. Other meetings, for instance, many in institutions, are started by non-member professionals who become acquainted with the Narcotics Anonymous program. Wanting to provide their clients with access to what NA has to offer, these professionals set a time, find a room, buy some literature, give a group booklet to the addicts who've gathered, and help them start a meeting. After some exposure to the principles underlying the NA program, these recovering addicts begin taking responsibility for their meetings themselves. How a meeting is begun is not nearly so important as how it grows. Our experience is that once a meeting is established, it gathers momentum. The meeting begins attracting a group of addicts who attend on a fairly consistent basis. These addicts share their experiences with one another and help each other better understand NA's principles of recovery. At this point, the meeting becomes more than just an event. An NA group has evolved from the meeting, complete with members. With the evolution of an NA group, its members committed to supporting one another, the group as a whole is ready to take full responsibility for its obligations. Many of us think of the seventh tradition as the money tradition. While we have come to associate this tradition of self-support with the funds we contribute, the spirit of the seventh tradition goes much farther than that. Whatever a group needs to fulfill its primary purpose should be provided by the group itself. The question then is, what does a group need? First and foremost, it needs a message to carry, and that it already has. In the course of its evolution, the group has attracted members who've proven to one another that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Without that message, the group has no reason to exist. With it, an NA group needs little more. Beyond that, the needs of the group are simple. Groups need to rent meeting places where their members can gather and where newcomers can find them. Most groups find it important to buy NA literature which they make available at their meetings. The expenses associated with these things may be substantial, yet most groups can meet such expenses by passing the hat. After paying their basic expenses, most groups contribute to the NA boards and committees that serve them. Phone lines, meeting lists, NA literature, H&I panels, and public information presentations all benefit the group. That's why service contributions are just as surely a part of a group's self-support obligation as the rent for its meeting room. Like the groups, NA service boards and committees decline contributions from sources outside the fellowship. Unlike the groups, however, our service boards and committees are not themselves fully self-supporting. They have been created to help the groups fulfill their primary purpose more effectively, and they depend on group contributions for the money they need to do their work. To fulfill its purpose, the group also needs some things that don't cost a penny. A group needs someone to open its meeting room, set up the chairs, and prepare the literature table. In some groups, a member offers to prepare refreshments, helping establish a hospitable environment for the newcomer. Most importantly, a group needs the consistent commitment of its members to show up and take part in its meetings. Upon that commitment rests the group's stability. Without it, no group can survive long. From the commitment of its members, the group also draws its ability to carry our recovery message. Group service and active group membership are two vital contributions to group self-support, contributions that don't cost any money at all. As simple as a group's needs are, a group's decision to become fully self-supporting does not usually require the commitment of extensive amounts of its members' money, time, or other resources. If a group is having problems sustaining itself, it may want to ask itself some questions. What is our primary purpose and how do we fulfill it? What does our group need to fulfill its primary purpose? Have we confused our wants with our needs? When a group's sense of its needs have become unreasonable, the simplicity of the fifth tradition can help deflate those needs to their proper size. But what if a group is still unable to pay its own way, even after examining its understanding of the fifth tradition? Tradition 7 tells our groups that they should not seek outside contributions. But why not? What considerations keep us from seeking money outside the NA fellowship? First, the group will want to consider its identity as a part of the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Recovery in NA is very different in a number of ways from our using. When we were using, many of us took whatever we could from whomever we could, as often as we could. Our group's decision to become fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, reflects the new way our members are living in recovery. Rather than taking what we want or need from others, we are paying our own way. The group will also want to examine its identity as a group. When we were using, most of us looked out for ourselves and ourselves alone, not giving any thought for one another's welfare. An NA recovery group, on the other hand, is founded on its members' commitment to one another. Many of us have tried to find a way of making it on our own, but without success. We found we need one another to survive and to grow. The NA group is both the expression and the fulfillment of that need we have for one another's support. An NA group reinforces the solidarity of its members and the foundation of their continued recovery by declining outside contributions. All right, we say, our group has made a commitment to become fully self-supporting, but what if the money we collect from passing the hat still isn't sufficient to meet our needs? What if we sold some t-shirts or jewelry to raise some cash or held a dinner and asked for a donation at the door? Perhaps the energy our members put into such activities could be turned into the money we need to pay our bills. On the face of it, there doesn't seem to be any contradiction between the seventh tradition and these kinds of money-raising activities. Before engaging in such activities, however, the group might want to ask itself some questions. First, of course, is the question of need. For what purpose does the group seek these funds? We might also ask ourselves whether such activities intended to raise money to help our group carry the message might end up diverting us from carrying the message. Money-raising activities usually take a good bit of time to manage, time that might be better spent in fulfilling our primary purpose more directly. If fundraising activities are successful, bringing in more money than the group needs to meet its obligations, controversy over control of that money may well arise, distracting the group from its primary purpose. A group may also want to consider whether the atmosphere created by selling goods and services at its meetings might detract from the free, open atmosphere so conducive to recovery. By and large, our groups have found that the simplest, straightest path to full self-support is through the voluntary contributions of their own members. For this reason, we discourage groups from engaging in fundraising activities. If a group is unable to provide for its own needs from the contributions of its members, perhaps group members will want to consider increasing their contributions. In the same breath as we speak of this, however, we need also recall our fellowship's third tradition, which affirms that the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Our membership, whether we are speaking of membership in NA as a whole or group membership, does not depend on the amount of money we give. Indeed, we aren't required to give any money at all in order to consider ourselves NA members. If our group has carefully examined its expenses, trimmed them to match only what it needs to fulfill its primary purpose, and still doesn't bring in enough money to pay its own way, the group's members will be left with some questions only they can answer for themselves, individually. What do I get from the group? Does my personal recovery depend on its survival? Am I able to give more than I've already given and still meet my own financial responsibilities? At the same time as we consider our levels of personal contributions to the group, We should remember that Tradition 7 speaks of the group as being self-supporting, not of one or two well-off group members paying all the group's expenses or doing all its work. Later, in the chapters on Traditions 9 and 12, we will look at rotating leadership as a way to keep a group, service board, or committee from becoming a mere extension of one or two members' personalities. In the same way, the seventh tradition encourages the NA group as a whole to support itself, avoiding financial dependence on one member or another. We each do well in giving our part toward the group's self-support obligations without making the group overly dependent on our individual contributions. In the end, our individual decisions and group commitments are entirely up to us, because we are the ones who have to live with them. However, certain lines from our white booklet, written in reference to the 12 steps, seem to apply equally to the observance of the seventh tradition. Indeed, to all the traditions. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, these are the principles that made our recovery possible. If we want what the group has to offer us individually, and if our group wants to reap the benefits associated with self-support, we will practice the principles that make those things possible. Applying spiritual principles. Our 12 traditions describe those specific things that have been found to help our groups remain strong, lively, and free. Underlying the specifics of our traditions, however, are dozens of spiritual principles, any one of which could be applied to almost any of the 12 traditions. This broad field of principle is the ground upon which the traditions have grown. The more we cultivate this ground, the stronger our understanding and application of each of the traditions themselves will be. Some of the principles which will strengthen our appreciation of the seventh tradition are gratitude, responsibility, faith, integrity, anonymity, and freedom. The gratitude we speak of in regard to Tradition 7 is like the collective sense of direction the second tradition talks about. It is the gratitude of the NA group as a group. When NA members gather to share their recovery, they generate a sense of gratitude among themselves. They are grateful the group exists and want it to continue to be there for them and for the members yet to come. The gratitude of the group speaks, in part, through the group's collective commitment to support itself. The group's decision to become fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, reflects the group's sense of responsibility for itself. In recovery, we discard the illusion that the rest of the world is responsible to take care of us. Rather, we take due pride in caring for ourselves. Individually, we demonstrate our newfound maturity by accepting the weight of our own burdens. Collectively, we demonstrate our maturity by accepting responsibility for our group, neither seeking nor accepting outside contributions. The burden of responsibility, however, may seem unbearable without an appreciation for the simplicity of the group's needs. The commitment to become self-supporting is not a commitment to raise vast sums of money to fulfill sweeping programs. Rather, the group determines it will muster the few basic resources it needs to fulfill its simple primary purpose, to carry the message to the still suffering addict. The ideal of its simplicity, when applied to Tradition 7, helps our groups avoid the heated conflicts that often arise over the control of great resources. Problems of money, property, and prestige need not divert our groups from their primary purpose when the simplicity of that purpose and of our needs is kept squarely in focus. In understanding the principles underlying the seventh tradition, practical simplicity walks hand in hand with our faith in a higher power. So long as we take our direction from that power, our needs are met. Likewise, the decision to decline outside contributions, meeting the group's needs from the group's own resources, is based firmly in faith. So long as our group remains devoted to fulfilling its primary purpose, its needs are met. As members of an NA group, we have made a commitment to support one another in our recovery. Our group's commitment to become fully self-supporting reflects the group's integrity, its faithfulness to its fundamental identity. We support each other in recovery, and together we fulfill our collective responsibilities as members of a self-supporting group. The anonymity we exercise in accepting our group responsibilities reflects our integrity. the anonymity of the seventh tradition means more than just contributing anonymously without thought of recognition, though of course it does involve that. Anonymity in the context of tradition seven also means that all the contributions of a group's members are important. Money put in the basket, time put into setting up the meeting room, energy put into making newcomers welcome, all are part of the responsibility of the group, and all are equally important contributions to the self-supporting NA group. Our anonymity, our integrity, our faith, our sense of simplicity, our acceptance of responsibility, our gratitude, together, all these things spell freedom. By encouraging our group to pay its own way, the seventh tradition gives our group the freedom to share its recovery as it sees fit, not obligated to outside contributors. Further, it gives our group the freedom that comes from inner strength, the strength that develops through applying spiritual principles. By making the decision to become fully self-supporting, our NA group assures that it will always have the resources it needs to survive and continue fulfilling its primary purpose.